the satellite, body loving every size. Feel the vibe and energize. No shame, no fear, just joy. Every curve we deploy, hit play, let's make some noise. Oh, Chubbs go wild, living free, living style. Turn it up, turn it loud. Chubbs go wild. Big hearts, big love, big dreams. Breaking molds, tearing seams. Together.
Hey there, and welcome to a fabulous Chubbs Gone Wild. It's episode 629, recorded on Monday, February 16th, 2026, where it is 66 degrees, and that is not correct because it is cold and rainy outside. So, yeah. How are you doing with the rain? Any melting?
No, I have not been out in it. But I do like to go out and stand in the rain and sing.
Well, you know what? You're not alone, because I have a little neighbor who likes to do that too, but he doesn't do it in quite such a regal looking, you know, blanket as you are wearing right now.
Well, I wouldn't take that out because it's electric. No, I usually do my rainy day songs.
On Mondays?
No, when it rains.
Well, it's a rainy day in Monday.
I know, but that's not, if it's, what if tomorrow, what am I going to sing tomorrow? Nothing? No, I sing rainy day songs.
Today is Monday, right? Okay.
Well, you're exhausting.
Just checking, you know, rain on me. All right. Hey, it's 48 days until Easter.
I think that's lean on me, not rain on me.
No, Gaga's rain on me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not up with the Mother Monster. It's also 257 days until Halloween and 312 until Christmas. So, and I've already purchased my first Christmas gift to give away. It's absolutely lovely.
That's good, because it'll be very to the moment. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to have mine done early this year, like June. So anyway, hey, affirmations, let's take a moment and center ourselves and feel very good and say, I honor my body for carrying me through love and life, or life with love, depending on how you want to read it.
We honor our body just to move around the house.
Yeah, you have somebody to honor your body there. Take off that electric blanket and give you some electric love. All right. Patreon offers folks a way to support creators and receive rewards not open to the general public, like special podcasts, videos, books, and more. And we want to thank our amazing current patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, and DJ Stossage from the Univaz, Eric, Sean, Charles, Phoenix, Dave, Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, Moose P. Please visit patreon.com/mattburlingame to find out how you can join our little family for as little as a dollar a month. And now let us traverse back into history and find out what happened upon this day years ago. In 1804, U.S. Navy Lieutenant Stephen Decatur leads a daring raid to burn the captured USS Philadelphia during what? Seriously, burn it? Huh. During the First Barbary War. I remember it well. 1923, archaeologist Howard Carter opened the sealed tomb of King Tutankhamun in Egypt for the first time. In 1951, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin criticized the U.S., the United Nations, calling it a tool of aggressive war. In 1959, Fidel Castro was sworn in as Prime Minister of Cuba after overthrowing Batista. In 1968, the first official 911 emergency call is placed in the United States. It was coming from within the house. Also in 68,
It is not funny, but
are you done? The
are
Tet
you?
Offensive, I'll be done in a minute. The Tet Offensive in Vietnam creates hundreds of thousands of new refugees. Well, it's not good. In 1984, Bill Johnson becomes the first American to win the Olympic gold for downhill skiing. And in 2005, the NHL canceled the entire season due to a labor dispute, a first for U.S. major sports leagues.
Oh, that was such a good year.
I know, right? Poor Gretzky. He's probably retired by then, but all right. Oh, God, who? Right, notable birthdays. We had LeVar Burton from Star Trek, and we had John McEnroe, the tennis champion, and we had The Weeknd, who was born in 1990, which made me feel a little sad. All right, and we also had notable deaths, sadly, in 2024. This is the anniversary of the Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who was killed in prison, allegedly. All right. We have some holidays that we got to figure out if we bother to celebrate today. Oh, I bet you celebrated this one. It's Cream Bun Day. Did you get your buns creamed? No? Oh. Well, that's only in Iceland, so we're okay. We're safe. Do a grouch a favor. I'm here for you. Let's see. International Syrah Day. Okay. Kyoto Protocol Day. Don't know what that is. National Almond Day. Did you have any almonds?
No.
Oh, me neither. And then we have National Innovation Day. President's Day? I don't know that one. We also have Shrove Monday, and which is celebrated 48 days before Easter. Interesting. Oh, and we have Tim Tam Day. Have you had any Tim Tams lately?
No. Now, does that make so is tomorrow Fat Tuesday?
I don't know, but it would be if we had some Tim Tams, you know what I'm saying? Because I'd eat those things right up. Well, that's pretty much some lame holidays for today. But what isn't lame is the birthdays that we celebrate, including, well, I don't have any for today, but we do have some upcoming birthdays, including Jacqueline, John, Michael, Tommy, Larry, Lexi, oh my, Mila from the Transponder podcast. We have JT, Sandra, a dear friend of yours from the theater days, and Renee. And there's one other, and I can't really pronounce this, so I'm going to give it a try. Michael Sage. Oh, yes, Michael Sage. He's going to be old in just a few days. Wonder what he's doing for his birthday.
Well, I like the way that you keep calling people old when
Yes,
you
go
are
for
as
it.
old as you are.
He's just a tinge older, but yeah,
But
pretty
yet, you
much.
know
And that's what makes it fun to call them old.
what always gets me is when
Yeah.
they go, "Oh, you know what today is?" Or what? Let's take a look back at the top 50 songs that are now 50
God.
years old.
Yeah.
Which means 1976.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, well, you know, I always like those ones where they're like, what is it? The one today is as close to 2000, blah, 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 as it was when we were born in blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't need to know that. I really don't need to know that. Moving on. But I'm aging gracefully, as you are. But now we have some chub hugs to send out. Please begin.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
No.
Yes, I am. I would like you to begin so that I don't duplicate anything.
Okay, well, I'd like to send out chub hugs to all of those women standing behind Pam Bondi, who
Oh
she would not look at and apologize for not doing her job.
God. Abso-fucking-lutely. That is a great chub hug. Yeah. So, how about anybody that has had to wa who watches the political shows on YouTube that we do? We love the IHIP and the Keith Edwards and everything, and had to watch clip after clip after clip of Pam Bondi and her annoying voice just say the stupidest shit over and over and over. You know what? I don't know why, but it makes me. Not, I don't want to use the word angry, but I will, for lack of a better term, angrier with the women than even the guys.
Well, they make me angry too, but it's just the mean girls thing. And it was weird because I was going to start, referring to them as mean girls, and then I realized that everyone's referring to them as mean girls. I just hadn't heard yet. But yeah, it's just they don't they're just horrible people. And it's Bondi, it's Kristi Noem, and it's Lion Lovett.
And who's the other one? There's one other one that we have to throw in there. How can I forget her? I don't know, but there's four of them.
Melania,
No, I mean
but
she
she's kind
is,
of
but
cunty.
she's a whole different, she's not
Well,
really doing his bidding.
somebody brought up the point. She's been in this country 40 years and she can barely speak the language.
No, that Donald tells me I don't have to speak the language. I just have to suck the dick. Anyway, yeah, well, we all have our levels of learning. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on then to feedback, where
Wait, you didn't give any chub hug.
to everybody that had to watch all those clips and listen to that woman's annoying fucking voice.
That was mine, basically.
No, you had a
Okay.
wonderful chub hug, which was those women. Though I'm sorry, but those victims are so brave to come forward and to be seen and to go through all that, and for her to just, ugh.
See, I don't consider them brave anymore. I just consider them, like they're like
Righteous.
champions.
Yeah, they
You know,
are. They
and it's
truly are.
because they can sit there and say, well, because you heard the latest bullshit that they're doing, which is they've got all the stuff on that all redactive stuff on four computers. I don't know if it's in the White House or if it's in the Congress.
Gifts.
It's available 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, only four computers, and then they're also looking to see they're watching what
They're
you're
monitoring
looking
what
at.
they're looking at.
Yeah, it's so gross, just so gross. But the thing is that all those women, all they have to do is say, okay, this is who we know was there, and this is the ones that, because they have Janis Joplin on the list now, because
And
somebody
Marilyn
probably
Monroe, and
made reference to, well, I really like Bette Midler's Rose. That's based on Janis Joplin, so now Janis Joplin's on the Epstein list. By the way, I checked, you and I are not on the Epstein list.
Yeah,
Well,
no kidding.
currently. We are
Oh,
currently not on the Epstein list.
no, we might be on the watch list for other things soon, but no, even our former mayor Daryl Steinberg ended up being on the list, apparently. At least that's one of the Facebook posts that I read today.
But
But
that's
not for, but from what I understand, not for actually doing anything, but just a mention from like being in an article.
Right. Or it could say, I was, Epstein could go, oh, I'm going to go to, California. I'm flying into Sacramento. Isn't that, who's the mayor there? Oh, he's a Republican. I'll have to avoid him. And that gets him in the Epstein list.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
it's ridiculous. I mean, ugh. Okay,
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah.
I get it. All right, let's get on to some happier news though and jump into our feedback where Mr. Moose wrote in and said, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot to enter your contest. I would have been an honor to be your Valentine. Hugs. But you didn't, Blanche. You didn't enter the contest. But you can be our Valentine anyway. We got bookings for next year open already. So, but yes. And congratulations again to Ms. Kathy
Okay.
Bacon, who is our Valentine's winner and posted a photo on her Facebook of the wonderful Valentine's love that we sent her, which was a giant bag of Hershey's Kisses. Oh my. And it had Peanuts characters on the bottom of them. It was very sweet. So, yeah. Well, now it's time to bring it down a little bit, get a little serious, because we had some really surprising and sad celebrity deaths this time.
Oh, we're already there?
Yeah, girl.
Oh, we are breezing through.
I know.
Okay, first one up,
Amazing.
Harold and Maude star Bud Cort died at 77 years old after a long illness. I'm not sure. I did not check this. I should have checked it. But they said, one article I read said that Bud Cort died the same age as Ruth Gordon was when they made Harold and Maude.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, which was, huge, huge.
Yes.
Let's see, James Vanderbeek, actor best known for Dawson's Creek. He died at 48 years old. And we had been watching him for the past few months where he was on like The Masked Singer, and he was going for it the last few
Yeah.
months that he had, and I thought that was kind of honorable, so good for him. And he went out and bought a home for his family, a ranch, to make sure that they're taken care of. It
Good.
sounds like a really good guy.
Yeah.
And finally, today we just found out that Robert Duvall, best known for Oscar-winning Tender Mercies. He was nominated for roles such as The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, The Great Santini. He was 95 years old. I remember it was back in the late 70s. I was at the theater, and the assistant manager of the theater that I worked at, he said, "Hey, I got a call from the guy over at Century, which is the Arden Fair one now, the Cinemark." And he goes, "We're having a late night showing of Apocalypse Now, which is opening, I think it was opening the next day. It may have been opening a few days later." And so there was eight people there, the two of us, not Brian McMartin. What am I saying? No, it was the big. He was a movie critic. Fat.
Yes, Chris something?
No. What?
No,
I can't think of
Alan?
his. What? Alan. Stop just
Alan? I
calling
don't
him.
know.
Anyway, but there was the guy from Cinemark, and there were a couple, and the two critics in town were there. And it was like just this empty theater, because they had the beautiful domes at the time. So I'm just I got to see it the night before, not realizing that I was going to end up being a reviewer and seeing everything before for nearly 20 years. But I just remember the scene on the beach where they come in with the helicopters and the music's blaring and they're dropping napalm everywhere, and it's
Oh,
just
yes.
and he gets out and he walks over and he goes, you know, he goes, "I love that smell." It's
Napalm in
the
the
smell of
morning.
napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of victory. And I'm paraphrasing there, but I just remember that scene out of all the whole movie. It was like that was one of and it was his performance. If you did it wrong, if you acted that wrong, it wouldn't have been the same thing. So,
Right.
yeah, he's and you look at he was in a lot of Oscar winners and not a lot of Oscar nominees. He had quite a career. And if I remember right, at one point, him, I think it was Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman all lived in the same apartment in New York.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. And I think it was the three of them. I know it was Dustin Hoffman. I'm pretty sure it was Duvall. And I may be wrong on Gene Hackman, but they were all struggling actors in the 60s. And it was funny because they would be one of them worked night shifts, so he was never home until the morning, and they were back and forth trying to get jobs and stuff. So that was it's just it's weird to think that that actors knew each other before they became famous.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that there was like a mixing, like some of these people who go, well, you know, I can see if you went to Hollywood High, you know, that you knew a bunch of, you know, because Jamie Lee Curtis and all the actors' kids were there. But if you're in like some bumfuck place in Iowa and you got two major stars that came from one high school, that's really weird. So I love when they're kind of mixed like that. It's fun. Sorry. Okay. Let me tell you about my week. Okay, first of all, oh my God, shut up.
Okay.
My Apple thing is
Oh, is that what that was?
talking.
It was like,
Yeah.
gee, I thought your other ghost left.
Yeah, it was weird being called out by a
Ghost.
speaker.
Yeah.
Okay, watching The Pitt this season, just started up back in January. It is, I mean, it's still good, but boy, the novelty really has worn off, or they're not bringing enough intensity to the show as they did the first season. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It may be something that builds up, but Noah Wiley is still just, it's not that he's gorgeous, it's just he's so wonderful. I mean, he's good looking too, but
Yeah.
his character is so wonderful. I love it because this is his last day before he goes on sabbatical. And his sabbatical is what he's doing is he's riding his motorcycle up to Canada. And of course they're in Pittsburgh. He's driving it up to Canada. I guess he's like going towards the West Coast or something. And everybody says the same thing. Oh my God, you're gonna die. And
Wow.
so, I mean, everybody, one guy comes in, he's a motorcycler, and they go, "Oh yeah, talk to our chief of staff. He's ready to go on motorcycle up to Canada." "Oh, really? Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love that." And this guy's got like an open, his knee has been split open, and they're working on it. And he's going, "Yeah, ride motorcycles," because he just got this on a motorcycle. And I'm just like, because I am so anti-motorcycle, just because the people I know that have been on motorcycles have gotten hurt. I've never had anybody die on a motorcycle, but I've had some people I know get very damaged.
I've had two family members who got very hurt from
Yeah.
motorcycles. Yeah.
So, RuPaul this week was they had to do political. They split up into teams and did political commercials. So it was, but it was political commercials like We want to add C to LBT. Okay. L. Okay. LGBT. Blah, 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 blah. They were going to add C because clowns should be part of the gay community. And so
They're too busy being Republicans.
just things like that. So it was a pretty funny episode. Actually, it's weird because everybody really kind of stood up. There was only a couple that were, eh. One just didn't know what she was. She didn't understand the project, which was one person is for it, the other person's against it, and you've got to do a skit based on that, and you go with a character, and you're by yourself, and so it was interesting. It was fun though. But I was really happy, and then that we started talking about that there's no real mean queen. I mean, there's some people that are kind of behind the scenes, be pulling shit, but it's not like you got one person that's just antagonizing everybody and pissing everybody off. Oh wait, she left week two. Maybe that's who that was going to be. But it's interesting when you don't have the person that's ruining the show for you. We don't have that right now, so that's nice. Let's see. So I'm watching e Evil and Big Mouth, and what's interesting about this is that Evil, I only saw the one time when it came out originally, when I was watching it episodically, and then Big Mouth, they brought out a new season every year, so we have only seen this final season once. So we're watching the final season of both episodes that I've only seen once. So Sean's like, "You've already seen this," and I'm going, "I saw this years ago, episodically, drunk, after you went to bed. You can't hold me for, because I'm like going, oh my God, he needs to do this. You know what's going on." Well, that's not even what happened, but it was like, but it's interesting going back and watching a show that you only saw once, and reliving like, oh my God, this is great. I forgot all about this. On Evil, what happened was this woman who's the grandmother of the Antichrist, that she found out she's the grandmother of the Antichrist because they took her daughter's egg and implanted it with Evil, and so the Antichrist is there. Well, to get back at the people who are treating her like shit, because they're one tried to kill her, and they're so she took the baby. She got a hold of the baby, took it to the church, and had it baptized, and then put the baptism note on the guy's door, who's the bad guy, and so he realizes now that they have washed the Antichrist from the baby now, and it's like, fuck, oh my God, he's gonna be so dead. I can't wait to find out what happens. Okay, having a good time. Let's see, moving on. Traitors. Traitors. Yeah, it's kind of fun this time because they're kind of stupid. The faithful aren't catching on very well. They go, somebody said this, so I'm pretty sure that they're a traitor. And it's like, okay, they said they really wanted to have salmon with their breakfast. How does that make them a traitor? It's like they keep coming up with these weird things that oh, I think they're the traitor now. It's like, okay, you people are dumb. But it makes it more fun because the weird thing is you root for the traitors. You're not rooting for the faithful. You want the faithful to die and move on and have the traitors win. Or at least that's how I'm looking at it. I don't know if I should talk to other people about the traitors and go, wait, what are you, who are you rooting for?
I do know our friend Clint is enjoying it.
Okay. I'll give him a call. Beast Games. The latest episode, which you were upset because they're in Saudi Arabia now. But you know what I thought was interesting that I don't know if you caught.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
That he said, so we're moving to Saudi Arabia. Remember, these people have been together for 30 days in this in their in the city that they build. 30 days is a long time on these kind of shows, and they don't do that much, so they really get connected. Because I was sitting there going, why would people give up their opportunity to win big money to people that they don't know? And it's because they are honestly getting fucked up with the just being together. You know, it's almost like you know, like what do you call that? It's when you start believing the guy who's holding you hostage.
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome. It's kind of like Stockholm syndrome, but reversed. Yeah. So
No,
anyway, I
I was
thought.
really surprised when he said that because you know these shows like the baking championship shows, they're like, oh, this week's up, you know, this week's, you know, and oh yes, from week to week. And I'm like, girl, it was yesterday. Come on.
Yeah, well, even RuPaul's Drag Race, they filmed the entire series in less than 3 weeks. So 30 days, especially when they're down to nobody. And I guess they a lot of it had to do with the fact that they had to fly to Guam. No, not Guam. Where the Fiji, where they did the Survivor thing. So right there, that had to take a few days. So yeah, it's interesting, and I'm finding that the it's really psychologically fucking these people up.
And unfortunately, we didn't really see that. So until he said that, I was like, oh, okay, that explains a little bit more why they're like, oh, he's my ride or die, and I'm so and I'm like, girl, you known him like what, 4 days? Come on, chill
Right,
out.
right. But the other thing is that like with the $100,000 or the $1 million thing where they 10 people, they all went in going, we'll each take $100,000. That's great. And then they didn't do it. And it's interesting. It's interesting because everybody was like, oh no, nobody better dare take more or less than $100,000, and then we all win. And it's like, oh no, that's not going to happen. And it's punish.
I was surprised that even the last person got as much as they did.
Right. Well, that was only because you had some people that were very, very, you know, selfless in that. So interesting. All very interesting. Let's see. Next, done with the boyfriend. Oh, I wanted to repeat. I know I said that before, but I was really just disappointed in how bored I got when they're getting along. Also, Queer Eye is done. I didn't realize there was five
I
episodes.
same okay, literally same. When you asked me if I had finished it, I'm like, no, I still have like 3 episodes, 4 episodes to go. And when I went back to finally start watching them, there was only 5 episodes. I had no idea. So yes, I finished it. And I'm fine. You know, at first I was really sentimental about it, and I'm like, oh, I really hate that it's ending because it's such a good show. But after I had like a week or so away from it, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm okay. Maybe if they reboot it with a few new people or something, because they do
Yeah, I
some
think
really
that's the.
wonderful things, but
I
I'm
think you
ready.
need to. The guys, they need to be. It's like, I don't want to. The Como, call
Promo,
me. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm tired of him. Of course, I hate Anthony.
Anthony, I know,
Yeah, I mean, I would be perfectly fine to keep the new guy, and keep Jonathan, but you could even get rid of Tan. It's so funny because on Big Mouth, when they were on Big Mouth, they Tan was the like the most irritated one, and it's like, and now I'm watching it where it's not the cartoon, it's real life. And I
Yeah.
realize he's kind of a bitch. You know, he's kind of the
He's very fastidious, and he has his own little like OCD issues and stuff like that. So yeah, he's all, yeah, I get that. Yeah.
yeah. So last week's Night of the Seven Kingdoms was a filler. This is not
Oh.
the one for this week. I haven't watched this week's one, but last week's one was like, I don't care. I don't care. Make something happen. Nothing's happening. Why is nothing happening? It's over. Okay, great. Okay, whatever. So hoping for this week's episode to be better. We saw another episode of Bridgerton, which is Bridgerton, and still following the whole Cinderella thing. They've got a really good evil stepmother, and I think it's gonna be a fun show. And then finally, we said let's watch a movie that we haven't seen in a while. So we ended up watching The Mummy,
Which Brendan Fraser one?
Brendan Fraser one.
Okay.
Oh, wow! What a terrible show.
And yet my
Entertaining
mom
in a
loves those.
sense.
Yeah.
But it is so, first of all, hate the brother character.
Yes.
Because it's like, I kind of got where they were going with him, but he went from ridiculous drunk loser to being Brandon Fraser's second.
Yeah.
And that just, in these kind of shows, that just does not work.
No, you have
And
to have a really strong story arc to get to that.
yeah, and the girl is horrible. I don't know why they're bringing her back, because they're making a third one now with them.
I believe there was already a third one. I think they're
Now,
making a fourth one, right?
third one was with The Rock as the Scorpion King.
Right.
Had nothing to do with those people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this, they're, well, of course, it could be all an AI lie. I don't know. But I just hope
I
they,
heard the same thing,
I hope
so.
they don't bring the brother back.
Yeah.
And I mean, God damn it, if Indiana Jones, I mean, Harrison Ford can do Indiana Jones in his 80s, then, Brandon Fraser can do it in his 60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And just, it's interesting, because I was watching it going, wow, this could have gone wrong in a whole lot of ways. If the music was different, if the way they were editing, because there's so many, Brendan Fraser's trying to do the funny lines, bullshit. I hated the fact that the drunk brother was constantly calling the fat guy smelly.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was a lot of terribly racist stuff in it.
And base humor and not even funny. It's just like cheap shots that I guess if you're had a few beers and you like that, great.
Well, and it was 25 years ago. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I can see where that might have got, well, because we look back, I mean, you look back at the Bewitched, and you're like going, all the guys are, except for Darren, are grabbing ass whenever they fucking can. What kind of TV show is this? Well, it was the 60s, and that's what men did.
Yeah, but I mean,
So,
when Larry would like be like, "Oh, you sly dog, you're cheating on Samantha, you sly dog," it's
yeah,
like,
and
"What?"
it's they're laughing like he's getting away with it.
Yeah.
And that's, but then you look at that and you go, well, no wonder Donald Trump thinks that, he could have watched Bewitched and got all his mannerisms from Larry.
Yep. Yeah,
So I
honestly.
thought, yeah, I just think it's really interesting, especially when you go back and you look at stuff like that, and you're like going, wow, we have changed a whole lot. And then another thing, okay, I got super high a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
What happened was, we were getting these things called señoritas, and they had 10 milligrams of of THC, and it was like a
Wow.
soda, a
Oh,
little
yeah.
soda. It was really nice. And then he bought a bunch of those, and then we ran out of them, and then they weren't on sale anymore. So he's been going out and getting these little bottles of stuff, and they're 100 milligrams of THC in a 12-ounce bottle, basically.
Whoa.
So think about in your can, there's 12, 100 milligrams. So
Jeez.
I think I took too much because I got super high. Not to mentioning, I probably had a gummy, I was smoking a little weed, and we were drinking that. So I get to bed, and I'm like, I went to bed when Sean went to bed because I was like, I don't want to sit out and freak out, in the living room. So I went to bed. And I'm lying there, and I wasn't falling asleep, but I started. What happened was I finally got to a point where I was starting to come down, and I got to that sweet spot, but I'm not going to get up, so I'm just kind of in my mind there. And I thought I should write an article. I don't know who I'm writing this fucking article for, but I should write an article on how we need to stop talking about movie stars to the point of where they are end all. We sit there and we go, oh my God, you look back at Marlon Brando's Godfather. Okay, I still think you can go back and look at Carol Connor's Archie Bunker and say, that's a great performance, but it's devalued because there are 258 performances of that character, where Godfather, there was only one because he dies at the in the first one. And it's just like I'm thinking, this sucks that and then it's even worse for soap opera actors that they don't get the same kind of credit. I mean, they're you go, well, look at the how they act. Well, that's called soap opera acting. It's like when you go back and you look at the old act, what was it called? It was where they did on stage, and the girl was tied to the railroad tracks, and
Like the
got the
old
guy
vaudeville
doing,
stuff.
yes, but there's a term for it. But that kind of acting was different from all the other acting. So soap opera acting may be a little over the top. Maybe a little more, unbelievable, but it's got its own place. And then you've got, television stuff. I look at Noah Wyle on Pitt. He's fantastic. He walks through the scene, and you would not say he's acting. You'd say he's actually this character, and it's amazing. But I think my article was all about how we don't give enough credit to stage and to television and soap opera acting that we give to movie acting, which and I've been watching this. Oh my God, I'm going on, and I'm not high. Now I've been there's these things on YouTube, and they show you the worst movies of box office wise or critic wise of each year over, mostly it's been the 70s and 80s, and now we're getting into the 90s. But they come in, they go, well, so somebody thought that they could spend $38 million on this, and then they show you what the movie was and how, and it ended up making less than $1 million. What a disaster! And I'm like, oh my God, these things sucked. And I just want because I have like these wonderful memories of some of these movies, and they're going, yeah, good luck trying to find that on digital. They won't even release it. It's so bad. And I'm like, I got to break out my DVDs and my VHS, because I have a lot of those that I liked. And they were talking about Solar Babies, which and that it was such a bomb. even though it had a big cast. Mel Brooks
Yeah.
was the producer of it,
Yeah.
and it just didn't. But it's, I loved the movie when it came out. I have the movie somewhere in the second bedroom, and it's like, and they're trashing it, just trashing it, and so it's, I've been having some fun. I don't know where that was leading to or from, but there you go. How was your week?
Solar Baby. Okay, it's funny that you mentioned that because I watched that a few years ago. I really liked that film. I know it's horror, it's crazy, but I liked it.
Well, I mean, even the, if nothing else, the premise is they're traveling across the desert in skates.
Yeah.
How does that work? I mean, I think there were like trails or roads or something, but
Yeah.
still. And I just remember that one little kid, he could hear his echo and he's going, "Yee!" And I always thought that was like a good point to get high.
Yeah, the little kid in it was always a little, it bothered me a little bit, but the rest of them, you know, I mean, Jason Patrick back then, oh
Oh,
my.
I know. He was, as after Lost Boys, I was
Yeah.
so in love. And now I've seen later pictures of him, and it's like, oh, okay. I thought he would have aged better, but
Don't know. Well,
yeah.
you know, it's one of the things that you mentioned about that is, and I agree with, is about the acting quality, because like you said that not Noah Wiley, you know, walks through it and he is that character for you. You're not watching Noah Wiley do a scene. Well, that's one of the things about I don't know if I mentioned that I watched the final Mission Impossible finally, a couple
I'm
weeks ago.
sorry.
I know. I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna wrap this shit up so that
Well, not quickly.
I've done it. No. And that's the thing though, is that when I'm watching it, I'm watching Simon Pegg and all these other people, and I'm like, I'm believing their characters. And then there's Tom Cruise. Don't believe his character at all. It's Tom Cruise in a movie, and then all these other people that are characters. So, yeah, but I'm glad to be done with that. I have no interest in revisiting any of those. So this week I cleaned at my stepmother's. I got to see her and spend a little time with her and help clean her room and her bathroom and that type of thing and make her laugh. And she seems to be doing pretty well despite everything. So that was really nice. And yeah, not other than that, not doing too much. I mean, ran a few errands and then focused on work and stuff at home. So, Beast Games, we talked about that. I have nothing else to report. Queer Eye, we talked about that.
And did you like in Beast Games when they got to Saudi
Saudi
Arabia and
Arabia.
they had all those cars?
Yeah, I do like the I thought the cars were very interesting and everything. I'm curious to see kind of where it goes with that. It's just that there's so much, okay, the with whatever's going on in our government that seems to be connected to weird stuff, you know, I'm always like, you know, like Dubai, what's going on over there? But it's beautiful. I mean, the buildings and the cars and the cities and stuff tend to be really beautiful. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Then we have, okay, so Matinee Minutia, DJ and I recorded this weekend, the new one, which it was on a movie from 1965 called Inside Daisy Clover. Which had well, Christopher Plummer, who was also in Sound of Music that same year, and it had
Natalie Wood
Natalie Wood,
and
yes,
Robert
and
Redford.
oh yes, Robert Redford. I will say that Robert Redford was very, very handsome man in that one.
Well, and he
He's
played
only
a gay
20.
character.
He was 29. Actually, he wouldn't play the character until they labeled him bi. So he was supposed to be bi. However, what they then did is they went to back without him knowing it, and they edited in that new line that Christopher Plummer said, which basically made him just full on gay. So, yeah, he was unhappy with that, and his publicity manager, his or his his talent team basically said, "Please don't do this movie. You're going to destroy your career." Well, it didn't. Anyway.
Actually, I was watching a reading an article about Harry Hamlin where he did
Oh
Making
yes.
Love, and it did spoil his career.
It did. Yeah, he was lucky to get LA Law, I think it was. And so he had some sort of residuals coming in,
Well,
but
the thing was it destroyed his movie career. He was able to move on to television and then
Yeah.
marry Lisa Rinna.
Oh, that helped a lot, yeah, definitely. So speaking also that besides Natalie Wood and all that, who played Natalie Wood's mother was Ruth Gordon, who we just talked about in Harold and Maude. She was wasted in that part, but she did it great because the mother was just an insane, card fortune telling type person on the pier. Anyway, Inside Daisy Clover, I know that it's supposed to be a classic and it's supposed to be this and that and the other thing, but it was basically supposed to, the plot of it was supposed to talk about how horrible it was for young people and kids, especially in the Hollywood machine, because you were supposed to like completely lose your identity and you were just driven and owned by the studios and you did whatever you were told and everything. And this is how she was supposed to rebel, and she was tomboyish, so she may have, been questionable. And then she somehow was supposed to fall in love with the gay guy. But the thing was, is it didn't show us that. It just showed us always being herself, always being miserable. And I just, there was no connection or development or reason that we could see just watching the film without knowing how bad the studio stuff was back then. Without knowing that, it was just weird. And then she's 17. She's 15 when she gets picked. She's 16, going on 17, when she is supposed to marry Redford's character, who turns out to be gay, and she doesn't know it until he leaves her on the honeymoon in the middle of the desert to go off with some guy. But then when she gets all sad and melancholy about it, then Christopher Plummer, whose character is, I guess, supposed to be, I don't know, in real life, I think he was 35, but his character looked like he was about 45 or so, like grabs her and kisses her. And they're making it's just like, it was so weird. And I know that we're also looking at it from our lens of today when we're looking at all everything going on here and going, "Oh girl, what's going on here?" So, but I would, yeah,
I've
I
never
don't know.
seen it.
What?
I've never seen it.
Really? I thought you had. Okay, so you know what? If you want to go to prove me wrong, some of those things, prove me
I don't.
wrong. Okay.
See, I the thing was I loved Natalie Wood,
Yes.
but she's a terrible actress.
That's funny. I
Well,
well, of
not
course, I
terrible.
think her best role was when she was in Miracle on 34th Street. So that's not saying much because she was a kid and,
But I mean, West Side Story, Inside Daisy Clover,
Yeah.
all the stuff that she was doing was, I mean, it just is. She was the actress who wasn't acting the same way as everybody else.
Yeah, I can
She
definitely see
just
that.
seemed
Yeah.
a little off. I mean, she was gorgeous and she was really nice and a lovely person. I've been to her grave at Westwood Cemetery in Los
Oh.
Angeles. Just terrific, but one of her last movies, and I can't remember the fucking name of it, but she was working for a company that, and talk about, like foresight. It was a company that made this thing that you put on your head. It's like you put on, like your
Like
headset,
VR, okay.
And yeah, and then it had the VR thing, and what happened was they were like, at one point you put it on and somebody's riding a roller coaster, and oh yeah, and it was really cool, really clever, cool idea, because at that point no one was talking about this. And the thing that got me was that the one of the engineers, what he did was he took the thing and recorded himself having sex with somebody. And then what he did was he looped it. And so what happened was he was on this continual, they found him and he was almost dead from being on this continual loop of having sex and orgasming, and then it would, then he was orgasming, and he was, so he, yeah, it was really interesting. I thought, okay, so that's where porn's gonna go. So, right. And so, I mean, we are at that point right now that movie had then. But I just remember that she was in the movie, and there's this one part where the one of the girl characters was in the bathroom, had run in the bathroom, and she's crying, and then somebody follows, a guy follows her, and another guy follows her, and then she follows, and they're trying to get the girl out of the bathroom, and she goes, "Excuse me, this is the ladies' room." And it's like, oh, what a terrible, terrible, terrible reading of that line. But it's what I remember about her most. So.
So that'll be out in a couple weeks, and then also I've finally got a chance to watch the live action version of How to Train Your Dragon. And of course I know it's, pretty much still for still and word for word and everything of the cartoon, and I was okay with it. I thought it was very fun. I got misty at the end.
It was shocking how good it was, compared, because you immediately go, you're watching the first like 15 minutes going, oh my God, oh my God, this is just the cartoon. They just took the cartoon and they just copied it completely. I mean, is it the same script? Oh my God. But before too long, you forgot about I hadn't seen the first movie in a while, which was helpful. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was crazy.
I'm really glad.
But I did think it was funny that the father was the same father in both movies.
Yeah, he was quite something. Let's see. And then, so I watched that. And then I watched The Electric State on Netflix. That is the one with the girl that, pl the woman that plays Eleven in the Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Booby.
Yeah.
And then also Chris Pratt is in it. And then
Boo!
also we have my favorite, one of my favorite actors of all time. Now I can't remember his name. He's in freaking everything. Oh my gosh, I
Okay.
can't believe I've forgotten his name.
What's something
Stanley
he's in?
Tucci. Stanley
Okay.
Tucci's in. But there were so many cameos in this. I mean, it was like every once in a while it would just be like, oh my God, that's who's he, what's it? And you just knew pretty much everybody that was in it. It was amazing. And it is a fun story. I would say that if you can get over, your hatred of Chris Pratt, who does not do a bad job in
Boo.
it, that's a really fun movie and worth the watch, worth just a good afternoon watch. And so ba yeah, basically it's, that robots become sentient, and humans and robots kind of have a little war, but they're more cartoonish robots. So it's kind of an alternative, starting in like 1950, the Disney stuff, when Disney became, popular for mechanical stuff. And it basically is kind of like an alternative timeline. But it's a good movie. Then let's see. I watched this movie also from 2020 called The Midnight Sky, which was a sci-fi film directed by George Clooney. It's on Netflix. It is basically about they just George Clooney's character discovers the planet that it can sustain us. So they build these big, these big, beautiful ships to go start a new colony, and then they come back and they're supposed to pick up more people and take them and go back and forth this way. And the one ship comes back and runs into all this meteor stuff, and they can't really talk to the Earth. And then they get to the Earth, where only apparently George Clooney is left with this young girl. Find out that the world has basically gone to war and blown itself up. So there's nothing for them to come back to. And then it becomes very cerebral as we find out that maybe the little girl isn't really his, a little girl, and maybe George Clooney is loony. And so, if you want to watch it, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I will say it was for it was sets sci-fi produced well, story kind of boring, but not boring enough that I wouldn't say watch it on a Sunday afternoon. So yeah, caught up on Star Trek Academy. Watch the new episode. Have you watched the new episode yet? You didn't mention it, so okay. So good. Episode 5 got so good. This is episode 6. They're back on the ship. High drama. Oh my God. Total did not see shit coming. Character development, like you would not believe. So good. So if you're watching the series and you're putting it off going to watch the new episode, go do it. It is amazing. And I don't say that lightly because I love Trek, but I will criticize it. Not on this one.
Well,
So
good
good.
for you. Good for you.
I know. And then I splurged a little bit, spent $19.99, and got, because I finished up. Damn, girl, the wind. I finished out Doctor Who's the with the Cabaldi years, and watching the last few episodes of that, I actually liked it because I couldn't stand most of his seasons, but the last couple ones, I don't know whether they switched the writing around or what they did, but they actually ended it very well. And then I got the Whittaker. Jodie Whittaker series, which are three series and two and four specials for $19.99, and I started those. I remember really liking it, and so far I like it, but it's not grabbing me as much as it did before. So yeah, we'll see. The new the I have I got news for you. The new season has is out there. It's on YouTube. If you don't catch it on I don't know, wherever it is, CNN or well, Extra
HBO.
Now or where. Okay, cool. I love it, and it's what I need to perk me up watching the news,
Well,
making
I
fun of
love
them and then
Amber.
make fun of it. Oh yeah.
Amber is just way too funny on the show.
All right.
So, I mean, and I mean that in the best way. She is, I don't know, she just I know I'm going to get a belly laugh out of her at least
Yes.
once in the episode, if not multiple times.
She puts it out there and it hits every time. So, yeah. All right. What would you do? A roommate leaves shared spaces messy and promises to clean soon. Do you remind them again? Clean it yourself and resent it, or insist on a chore schedule?
I wait until the day before the maid comes and tells them they have to pick up their shit. Or I'll
Well,
just
he
call and cancel
knows
the maid.
that's good. That's how you do it when you're a daddy. For me, well, first I would check in to see if they have ADHD and we're having executive dysfunction moment. But for me, I would probably just have a box of their stuff and pick it up and put it in the box and put it aside
Well,
in their
and then what
room.
happens when the box is full? Because it will be.
In their rooms, their problem, not mine.
Yeah, unless you share the room.
Well, that may be your torture, but not mine. I have my own space. All right. Love it or hate it. Imagine. I'm assuming it's the Beatles song, so.
Oh, okay. It's fine.
Yeah. I didn't understand it or why everybody loved it and cried over it and stuff for so long, but now, yeah, I get it. I imagine. All right. Hey, Chubbs. Timothy wants to know, for a birthday dinner, should the entire bill be split evenly or should it be itemized per person and why? No, nothing. Not gonna say
Oh,
anything.
I'm waiting for you.
Oh, okay. Okay. For a birthday dinner, should the entire bill be split evenly or should it be itemized per
No, I
person?
didn't
I
mean
think
I
it can
need you
be
to read it
itemized.
again.
Hey, you know what? I have to absorb it on my time.
Hey, girl.
So I would say that it should be split even that no, that everybody pays for their own shit, but we split evenly the and chip in for the person whose birthday dinner it is so that they don't pay.
Yeah,
Because
that's
I'm
the.
sorry, some of my friends can afford a shit ton more expensive shit than I do, and I'm not paying for part of theirs.
Okay, and it's not just that.
Okay.
It's not just, oh, we're gonna go and we're all gonna get burgers
Okay.
at a burger place. That'll be great. Okay, we're having a good time. Split it, then you can split it if there's, and it also depends on who you're there with and how many people. But let's say it's five people, you're all getting burgers. The bill comes to, $110. You split it four ways with the burger, the free one for
Right.
the birthday boy. Where I start having a problem is when you all go for burgers, except for one person who's ordering drinks and sides, and they kind of veer off the menu a little bit, and then they go, let's split the bill. I'm like, fuck you. No. And I know that's terrible. It's just I've gotten burned too many times by people who think, oh, sure. They go, oh, let's all go out to dinner for my birthday. Okay. And then you get there, and then you realize that they expect you to pay for whatever their indulgence is. And it's
Yeah,
like,
and I think it's a di I think
and you brought presents.
right, and I think there's a different right, a
Oh, and what
difference
about
too.
their husband? Do you pay for their husband?
So I think there's a difference too when it's somebody that's saying, I want to go out for my birthday, come with me, come, you're invited. Then that to me that implies more on that they're gonna pay their share or whatever. They're inviting you to them, to whereas when a friend, oh, sorry, bump my mic. If the friend or somebody else is organizing it and then says, we're going to do this for them, to me, that's different too. But like you said, usually when I go out with my friends, they want to order beers or, shots or, appetizers and all this. And I'm like, no, girl, I'm on a limited income. I'm eating my salad or I'm eating my chicken strips or whatever. And I'm having water. I'm not paying for a $15 beer.
Exactly. And I get that people want to do that, but then
Right.
don't turn around and go, oh, let's split it. You
Yeah.
know, your bill, my bill should be, $20. Your bill is $50.
Exactly. Yeah.
I told Timothy this was going to cause conversation
What?
because,
Sure.
I've been through this at work. I threw a fit at work.
Yeah.
One time where I bought a $10 burger and they expected me to throw in $28.
Yeah. And and that's the thing too, is that for somebody that's on a limited income, like myself, $28 is a chunk.
Well, it's $28 for lunch is a big chunk for
Yeah.
most people. And so I said, look, here's the way we'll work this. I will pay for the birthday person's burger and
Uh-huh.
my burger, and you can split the rest of the bill. And they're
Yeah,
like,
no,
oh, no,
that's
there's no
totally,
reason
to
to
me,
do
that's
that. And I
totally
go,
fair.
hey, I'm coming out less with this.
Right.
You know, I'm not paying for people's alcohol and their side dishes when we're all here to have burgers.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, should public figures clap back at gossip or make the draw, or does that make the drama bigger?
Well, they have to nowadays.
They do, but I
No,
do get a little bit,
seriously, seriously.
I do get tired of it.
You know, look at what happened to Kamala. Look what happened to Hillary. Look what, you know. Oh, you know, they go low, we go high. Bullshit, right? Bullshit. No, they go low, you have to go lower with these people. You know, so if somebody online is calling you a pedophile and you're not a pedophile and you say nothing about it, then everyone just assumes, oh, they must be a pedophile.
Well, I was actually not looking at it as drastically as that. I was looking at it like, remember the beginning of Heartstoppers?
Okay.
Okay, so you had the two boys and they were playing their little, one's gay, one's bi, those are the characters and everything. And then all of a sudden, a slew of people who were mostly right-wing or bots or whatever just started flinging shit at the blonde guy on there,
Right.
Kit Connor, about what was he in real life, and just pressing and pressing and pressing until finally he felt that he had to say something, and so he said, "I am bi in real life, and I hope you are proud to make," like, I think he was like 17 or 18 or something at the time, "to make, me have to come out and say that and not be able to come out on my own time." So,
Well,
and that's the type of thing that I'm talking about, that I think that,
it's but what I'm the point I'm trying to make here is that it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's just easier to walk away from, you know, somebody's bullshit, right? It used to be that way, but now with social media and with people looking for answers, what's this all about? That you have to stand up and go, no, that I am not a pedophile. No, I am not, you know, an alcoholic. No, I am not a drug user. No, whatever. And they, because they love to fish that out, especially the right. They're terrible. I'm watching this one guy, and he shows all these people who make videos, stupid videos, insinuating things about people, and it's just like you have to call them on it. If you don't call them on, I mean, I know what you're saying. In the old days, it would have been fine, but anymore, if you let it go, it's gonna there they will run with it, and you'll have to be picking up pieces later on. It's not good.
All right. Hey, Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, after a breakup, what do you think is healthier, a clean digital break or a casual social media coexistence?
Oh, clean digital break.
After a breakup, for me, it's like, even if eventually we could have kind of a coexistence, for me, it's better if I just, I won't necessarily like unfriend them or whatever from social media, but I will put the filters on so that I don't see their posts, and
Right.
I can kind of let my head be clear of all that.
Well, that's, I mean, that goes back to what my old thing was, that if you break up with me, you either move or you die. And when I say move, it means move out of the
On their
state.
own, not
Yes.
really, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Move out of the state or die. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want people insinuating that we are talking to each other. Nothing. I want a complete separation. And there was another that's a perfect example. I had after the breakup, certain people went around saying that I was the one that caused the breakup.
Yes, that was a lovely, that
Yeah,
was good.
so it's like no, I want clean cut, and I will call you on your shit. Well, all these questions are working together, aren't they?
Yep. All right. I remember Atari 2600. I'm assuming you're going to say no.
That's a video game?
Yeah.
Now, was
Well,
that
no,
the?
that I think that was the video game system.
That's what I mean. This
Oh
it was a
yeah.
system, yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
I remember Atari. I don't know about the number, the 2600 or whatever that meant. I remember that I played an Atari at a friend's house, and it was some sort of Dungeons and Dragons thing, and they made fun of me. And then my father brought home I guess it was an Atari. It was that the Pong where you hook it up to the TV, and then you have the paddles and you do the ping
Sure.
pong thing back and forth or whatever.
Wait, Pong
And
came way before a Dungeons and Dragons game did.
three 4 years, I think,
Okay,
from
because
where
I.
I was.
Oh,
And
that's
it
true. You
wasn't
were.
like, well, okay, stop. It wasn't actually named Dungeons and Dragons, but I don't really, it
No,
was
I
that
understand what you're
style of
saying. It's
game.
like Zelda, the Zelda games, which is kind of like Dungeons and
Yeah,
Dragons in a
that came
sense.
that those came later, yeah.
Yeah,
Th
but
this was
the first
just
one was
yeah.
doink, doink, doink,
Exactly.
terrible.
And my father brought it home. He was so proud of himself for bringing it home. I think we played it once and then he broke it. It's the same thing that he did with my train set. He bought me this huge 4x8 thing with green grass and tracks and these little buildings and hat, and it was this train, and he wouldn't let me play with it because he didn't want me to break it, and he played with it one time and broke it. So he had that kind of energy. Anyway, all right, what's in your lunchbox? Mr. Moose wrote in and said, "Hey girl, hey, I got some cashew chicken today. This was Malaysian style light hot sauce with basil."
Wait, let me get to it. I was.
I'm waiting.
Oh yeah.
I know it's a beautiful photo of it. I don't know if I'd necessarily want that myself, but
I
the
do.
cashew
I want
chicken I
this.
do like. Yeah. Ordered a quesadilla tonight. Very cheesy. Had onions, which I don't particularly like, but the chicken was delicious.
That's weird. That doesn't not look like a quesadilla. Not a West Coast quesadilla.
No, but I would eat it. I would
Yeah, no,
love
that
it.
looks fine. It looks like a more like a unfolded burrito.
Oh, and I love the way that the grease that they cooked it in is just so lightly on that taco, on that shell. All right, another bundt cake. This is similar to carrot cake, spice cake with grated carrot, sour cream for richness, walnuts for extra flavor. Glaze is a vanilla and cream cheese concoction. Haven't tried this yet, but it smells good and it looks really good too. I was surprised by that glaze for a carrot type cake, but
Oh, I thought you were going to mention the way the center.
No, I thought about that, but no, I'm not gonna. That's a
Okay.
different show. All right, I
Okay.
cut my spice cake. I must brag on myself. It's good, super rich, lots of walnuts, which interfered with the cut, but not pretty. But it's tasty, very moist, lots of flavor, and from those spices, it looks so yummy.
Hey, you wanted to hear what I did? Just this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what happened was I was, and I think I saw it on television or something, but every once in a while, well, like at night, if you want something sweet, if you buy, let's say you get the, or a bag of Oreos, right?
Okay.
Okay. So, are you going to have just two Oreos? Probably not. Is it a whole bag? Maybe. Depends on my mood. But what I did was I went out and I got a tube of the cookie dough, the Pillsbury cookie dough. And I've been cutting slices off, cutting them in half, cooking them, so we both get a couple warm cookies in the evening. It takes, like 10 minutes. And because everything's already made, really, it's a really good idea. And it helps you limit what you do, because after you make the first two cookies, you don't want to make more. I'm too fucking lazy.
That's true.
And so far we haven't gone, let's just make the whole thing. But we've been pretty good on it. And I did make another pineapple upside down cake a couple days ago. I can't believe how fucking easy it is.
I have all my supplies now, including my cherries to action
Ooh,
on. So,
okay.
all right, bought a mini salted caramel pie, Oreo cookie crust, filling made with cream, butter, molasses, and sugar, chocolate topping, so good. I have not seen one of those before. And aside from the Oreo cookie crust, it looks yummy.
Wait, you don't like Oreo cookie crust?
Let's just say Oreos don't do well for me. So,
Really?
yeah. Because I do like Oreos, especially Oreos with a nice big glass of cold milk.
Blew.
But nope. It's better that I just don't. All right. Mr. Michael Sage wrote in and said, "Here's my rich people food, girl. Swordfish with spinach and green beans with, I can never pronounce this right. Quino, quino,
Quinoa.
quinoa. Thank you. And it looks absolutely yummily expensive, which is a joke between him and I. So, but yeah, it does look really, really amazing.
It's a gorgeous plate of food.
Yeah.
I do miss seafood, but lately it's been just too fucking expensive to,
And when you're saying that, true.
Well, I'm cheaper than you think I am. Hey, now I mean,
That's what I heard from your ex.
it's like when Sean gets home, I go, "Oh, I turned on the heat," and he goes, "Why don't you just turn on the heat earlier?" And it's like, "No, I don't deserve it, but you need the heat because you just came home from work." And it's like for instance, we found this banh mi place. It makes full-size banh mi sandwiches for $6. So it's like I told him, anytime you're thinking, "Oh, I'm kind of hungry. What should I get?" Go to this place and get me a banh mi sandwich. And the day that I say no more is the day I need to be slapped to the floor.
When's that
It's not going to happen.
gonna happen? Sounds fun. All right. See what's in. See all these great pictures that the boys sent in over at our Facebook group at facebook.com/chubsgonewild. What's in your lunchbox? Don't forget, you can send us anything for that's in your lunchbox or questions or comments or anything over at
Valentine's Day gifts that you
chubsgonewild@gmail.com.
may have gotten.
Yeah, I didn't get any. I didn't get
I
anything.
got a card.
I know. Tell us about that for a moment. Was that from Sean?
No, it's my friend Gail, and she recently has acquired the, well, she retired, so now she's making cards for holidays to send to people and stuff like that. And I love it. I love I would much rather get a handmade card. And when I say handmade card, I don't mean like a children's crayon handmade card, because that's garbage. No, but a nice card. And it's so funny because I posted it and my niece goes, "You need to get a Cricut." And I go, "I didn't make the card. I received the card." Cricut is a machine they use to cut papers and,
Really?
It's a real nice machine. If you're doing like scrapbookers do it a lot, because then you get beveled edges and you can You do a lot of
Huh.
things with the paper, so it's great if you're doing like edges for pictures. You know, if you want a layout type thing, you can do
That's
those.
really
Really nice.
interesting.
But so anyway, it was just that was my card. And Sean and I don't do Valentine's Day because it's a ridiculously expensive, stupid holiday.
Okay. All you have to do is go to bed and you'd pretty much celebrate it, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you wanted that, that's fine, but the card and the candy and the flower companies have made it unattainable. You
Well,
know.
even fucking Walgreens has made it unattainable. I mean, those the damn little they have three to four candies in one of those hearts that they're selling for like $7 to $10.
Right.
It's
Well,
ridiculous.
one of my friends got a large C's heart, and I looked it up. It was $99
Oh my God.
for just
No.
candy. Now, but the thing is, you're expected to do candy or flowers and a card and take them to dinner.
I know, that's crazy. Well, we got off pretty well when we sent that nice big bag of candy to our Valentine, Ms. Bacon, and I got my mom a little metal peacock, like beaded peacock jewelry box type thing. Very, very cool. Very lovely. And then I also got her a little thing of candy and a rose and one single rose. It was pink. And
And why did you get that for your mom?
because it was handed to me at Outward, and well, I was just at our happy hour. And I was just
Yeah.
like, okay, what do I do with this? So I got
No,
home
what you
and
mean to say
fuck.
is we said no Valentine's Day gifts, so she got you one anyway. So
Oh, yeah, no.
you have to make the race to okay, fine.
I'm...
We're doing that. We're doing that shit. Fine. You're gonna be sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I,
Because
and I gave her
like if Sean
the
showed up with something for
name.
Valentine's Day, I'd kill him.
You'd be like on the phone to what Amazon Fresh, what can I get? Nope, didn't get anything, but I always do something for the moms, and she loved it very much. So, but I've also learned that the color of roses, so you have yellow, which is your friendship rose, right? You have red, which is your love rose. And then you have the kind of muddy pink middle one, which is the meh rose, the kind of like, well, if there's no one better, I'll be back kind of rose. So, yeah.
And you got your mother the pink one.
Well, I gave my mother the pink one. I got the pink one, but what do I do with the rose?
Is it that pink? Isn't it more
No,
purple?
actually, it was like literally a washed out muddy, did not smell.
Oh,
I don't
we're
know.
talking roses still. I thought you were talking about
Yeah.
wieners. Okay.
Oh no. That was it. It was a whole different scenario. All right, moving on. It's time for us to remind you that you can get my other projects at
Just
justkissthaguy.com.
kissthaguy.com.
And
Or you can, if you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead and like and subscribe. Leave us a message. It helps with our algorithm. And I think we're over, what, 10 people now?
yeah, I don't know if we actually have an official algorithm yet. We have to have somebody
Yeah. Well,
watch it.
because.
Other than Sean, thank you, Sean, for always watching the videos, or at least having him
Thank
on
you.
the background. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a For Fuck's Sake production.